that. Yep. I know when I drown another part of myself. It is pretty obvious. Okay, here we go. We're going to be on page 79. The paragraph at the top of the page, paragraph 4. Sometimes when I'm reading this, I'm going to give you some of the Course in Miracles definitions as I go along to kind of give you a different perception. Like, the voice of the Holy Spirit is weak in you. It's the same as saying the voice of the right mind is weak in you. Or the voice of the loving mind is weak in you. Or the voice in truth is weak in you. He said, that's why you must share it. It must be increased in strength before you can hear it. So you're going to only hear the strongest voice in your mind. You're going to only hear the strongest voice in your mind. And if you want to hear the truth in you, it's impossible for you to hear your own truth while it's weak in your own mind. It's impossible to hear your own truth while it's weak in your own mind. Your truth, or the Holy Spirit, is not weak in itself. So your voice for truth really isn't weak. Your guidance isn't weak. The voice for your guidance isn't weak. The problem is your unwillingness to hear it. The problem is not God's not speaking to you. The Course is saying the problem is that you're unwilling to hear God's voice. If you make the mistake of looking for God's voice in yourself alone, your thoughts will frighten you. Because by looking for truth in yourself alone, that's adopting the ego's viewpoint, which is looking for it in yourself only, which is adopting the ego's viewpoint. When you try to find Holy Spirit in yourself alone, you are undertaking an ego alien journey with your ego as a guide. And this is bound to produce fear. If you make the mistake of looking for God's voice in yourself alone, it's going to frighten you because you're using the ego's perspective, which is trying to do something alone or just for yourself alone. So the book is saying you're on a journey to joining, trying to use the part of you that believes in separation as a guide. You know, you're trying to go to love while using the part of you that's afraid as a guide. And he says when you do that, it's going to make you afraid.
Because I am afraid.
Yeah. And that's because I'm looking for the truth in myself alone. I'm looking for God in myself alone. I'm looking for love in myself alone. And if I'm trying to do anything alone or just focus on myself alone, he says I'm taking the ego's viewpoint. And I'm on a journey to joining with the part of me that wants to separate as a guide. He said, that's got to produce fear. I'm going to make some big mistakes. Okay? Now, the layers of the ego. And let's get straight about the ego. The ego is nothing but the part of the mind that feels fear. And that fear can take the form of anger, depression, sickness, worry, any form of lack of peace is fear. So, when it says the lay is of the ego, it's the same as saying delay is of a frightened mind. Only a frightened mind delays. You know, if you're afraid, people have to pull you forward. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
If you're scared, they have to say, hey, let's say, come on. So the minute I become frightened, I'm going to create the concept of delay. Okay? He says, so time is just a concept a fearful mind makes up. So the reason why we're in time is because our frightened mind made up the concept of time so that we could delay ourselves because we're afraid, because we're trying to lead ourselves back to God about ourselves. He says, but time and delay are meaningless in eternity. That's good. I've said before that the Holy Spirit is God's answer to the ego. So I'll say it again. I said before that the voice for love, the voice for God, the Holy Spirit, your right mind, is God's answer to your fear. Okay, so the answer to your fearful mind is your loving mind. The answer to your wrong mind is your right mind. The answer to the wrong answer is the right answer. Okay, I'm just reading out the book, but just saying that the definitions. It makes a whole other course in miracles. See, so everything of which your loving mind, the Holy Spirit, reminds you is in direct opposition to your fearful mind's notions. Because true and false perceptions are themselves opposed. Your Holy Spirit, your sane mind, your right mind has the task of undoing what your fearful, insane, afraid mind has made. Yeah, the part of your mind that knows the truth, the Holy Spirit, the part of your mind that is love, has the task of undoing what your fearful mind has made, which is the ego, which is the part of me that's afraid. So the part of me that loves me has to do what? It has to undo everything the part of me that doesn't love me has done. That's a hell of a cleanup job.
That's a big job.
I just saw the Holy Spirit sweeping behind me saying, damn! I have no idea. Ultimate pooper scooper. You know what I'm saying? It's like Earl Purvis, whole. You know. I'm telling you, you know, it's like, this is depressing to my fearful mind.
That's why I wear the pants.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because when you get kicked an awful lot, it
bleeds
a lot.
That's right. Thank you. I'm glad you do. I'm happy. This is so simple, it's mind-boggling. The part of you that loves you has the task of undoing what the part of you that hates you has made. And the part of you that loves you is going to undo what the part of you that hates you does at the same level on which the part of you that hates you operates, or your mind would be unable to understand the change. So in order for you to understand the change has to be made on the level you operate on. In order for you to understand the change has to be made on the level you operate on, or you wouldn't be able to understand the change. So the truth is going to reach you on the level that you are on. You don't have to try to go to another level so the truth can reach you.
That's good.
Hello?
Yeah.
That's a popular concept. It's not going to reach me till I get to that next level of consciousness 5A-2. When I get to consciousness level 5A-2, I'll be there. You know what I'm saying? We're striving for these other levels. He says, your loving mind can reach you on the level that your fearful mind operates, so you wouldn't be able to understand the changes you were going through. If we were sitting here 1 minute and saying, oh, I'd love to be in Hawaii, and the next second we were in Hawaii, we had a change that didn't happen on the level we could understand, and we'd be freaked out and wouldn't enjoy none of the service. We'd be so busy wondering how we got in Hawaii in 1 minute. So the change has to occur on the level that you operate on, or the change will just make you more afraid. Mm-hmm.
Is that why certain things happen in certain ways? Does that make sense, my question? Is that why you think things come up and you can see, okay, something's going on here? Is that why Is that as much as you can handle?
The Course in Miracles basically says, to my understanding, that God deals with us on a need to know basis.
There was a Seinfeld.
I'm so angry.
Yeah, it's like you're not burdened with any more wisdom than you can handle at any time. You have as much intelligence as you can handle right now. And all that you need. Okay? That's a trip to have an opportunity to accept a moment as having nothing missing in it. We're so used to always having something missing in the moment. You know, I mean, I could be okay, everything could be all right, I could be reached right where I am. My right mind could undo what my wrong mind has done. I'm really being talked to and guided all the time, but I don't hear my guidance because the voice of my guidance is real weak. Not because it's weak, but because I'm unwilling to listen to it. And so I've been trying to get to God on my own, looking for God within myself, going on the ego alien journey with my ego as a guide, and that's why I'm all upset and afraid today and weary, because I'm the one that's guiding myself back to where I came from, and I don't know where I came from. So I'm trying to guide myself.
You know where you came from. You know, it's not a pretty picture.
You know, I don't really know where I came from. Truth is, I don't know. There's a lot of rumors. And I do have what appears to be a personal history that I can look back on, but that personal history stops at some point, so where was I before that? You know what I'm saying? Suppose you didn't just begin when you were born. Suppose you just continued. Okay. I love what it's saying. He says, every time you tell you, he says, the Holy Spirit reminds you, he says, everything that the Holy Spirit reminds you is in direct opposition to your fearful mind's notions. Because your fearful mind and your truthful mind are, both minds' perceptions are opposed. So this is the way it's going to work. Every time you tell yourself something to make you afraid, another part of your mind is going to tell you something to make you feel loved and peaceful. That's the way it's going to work. You're going to tell yourself something crappy, then your other mind is going to tell you something cool. Then you're going to tell yourself another worry, then your right mind is going to tell you how you don't need to worry about it. That's the way it works. Got it? We think something that frightens us, and then the part of us that loves us says something that's just the opposite of what we just told ourselves. So you can tell when you listen to the voice for love, because when you listen to the voice for love, when you tell yourself something that upsets you, the voice for love will be telling you just the opposite of what you're telling yourself to upset you. The truth will be telling you just the opposite of what you're saying to yourself to make you feel afraid. That's how you know when you're listening to the voice of truth. But he's going to do it on the same level that you're operating on so that it won't frighten you. So your help is going to come on the level that you operate on so that you can recognize the change. That's what the book is saying to us. Isn't that great? Okay, any thoughts about that paragraph, a clarification of that paragraph in the sense of remembering what it said?
So even though it's possible to be in the light.
Mm-hmm.
The mere fact that we could not handle the sort of belief, and Hawaii could represent any major type of thing that comes, can come through your experience, the fact that we cannot handle that necessarily in the way we, of course, anyone sitting here would think, yeah, I'd love to snap and be in Hawaii. But literally, could we really handle
it? How about it, you all? Could we really handle being here this instant and being in Hawaii the next instant? Everybody that could handle it, raise their hands. Everybody, no, that you know you could handle it. Now, I believe I can handle this stuff. I know I could handle it. Okay, here we go. Y'all want to test it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We can always put it to the test right now. We don't even have to even wonder about it. Okay. Let's all, if we're not afraid, let's all go to Hawaii in the next instant when I pop my finger. Okay, we all afraid to go to Hawaii. Okay, so that's the end of that. Oh, next. Okay, that's it. That's handled. Okay, so now we know. Right? Now we know.
I can't even get to West Colfax.
You don't want to get to West Colfax. Okay, this paragraph. Let's just talk about the paragraph, though, y'all. What do y'all think about the idea that a fearful mind makes delay? Does that make sense?
Because I'm too afraid.
Okay, what about the idea that time is just a concept that we made up?
I can totally buy that one.
But it's a concept we made up to delay ourselves because we're frightened.
Well,
That's why I need more time to be happy, more time to have peace, more time to have the right relationship. That's my delaying maneuver. That's just me delaying until I'm ready to have it. I call that time. Time is just the length of your delay.
That's good.
How long do you want to delay yourself? 15 minutes. Because I can get to that in 15 minutes. That's deep, man. What about when he tells you how you can tell the difference between when your right mind is talking to you and when your fearful mind is talking to you? And that every time your fearful mind says something to you, what is the truth going to say?
Something better.
Something better. So exactly the opposite of what you're telling yourself to make yourself feel a lack of peace. See, we get very direct answers from the Course. I have a voice that as soon as I stop focusing on the truth, it starts to tell me the most dire things that are going to happen to me. And things I need to be aware or afraid of, and things that might happen to me. And just this morning it was telling me how horribly I'm going to die. So you're going to, I just say, you had a pretty good life because I saved all the horrible stuff for the end. Isn't that cruel? I said, it's at the end you're going to get yours. Some of y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of y'all know exactly that there's a voice in your mind that doesn't, it's not positive.
That's true.
Now try to pretend the voice isn't there. It's just what most people call positive thinking. Okay, they're not really positive. They're just pretending the voice isn't there. A mind that's balanced hears the voice and then just says the answer. Just like it was saying, every time you tell yourself something that will frighten you, Holy Spirit is going to tell you something that will make you feel peace. It's just going to tell you just the opposite. But you didn't hide from yourself the fact that you were afraid. Trying to be positive. Please, when you come to my class, don't try to be positive. Please just be yourself. Whatever that is. Let's just all practice an hour of just being who we are. You know, and if you're naturally positive, then everybody will recognize it. Now, listen, okay, we're going to go deeper. Let's go to paragraph 16. Y'all hanging in here because you're really just 15 minutes have passed. And I know for some people it seems like 300 years have passed. And for some people, 3 minutes. But you do have permission to crawl out. I remember I was listening to Deepak Chopra one time. And he was talking, and you know, and I fell out of my seat on the floor. That was so embarrassing. I fell asleep.
Yeah.
And just fell on the floor in the middle of a, you know, that's really, that's like a sin, like a departure. You know, that's like a big wig. You don't, you're supposed to be a conscious spiritual being. You don't fall asleep.
That's the kind of voice.
Yeah, that's where the ego talks. That's where the ego talks. But the rhythm of his voice and the way it sounds put me to sleep. And I'm sure I do that for some people too. And that's okay. I want you to have a soothing, restful experience of me. Peaceful. If you feel so good around me that you pass out, then I'm really flattered. That means you feel so safe around me. That you're putting yourself in your most vulnerable position. That's, you know, that's so cool. If you don't go to sleep, I bet you anything that if it was a tiger in this room where nobody in here fall asleep. You know, the tiger was a man-eating tiger. You know, and I bet nobody be dozing off. Because, you know what I'm saying? Because you don't feel safe. So the fact that somebody go to sleep around you means they feel really, in that moment they're feeling really unthreatened by whatever's going on. So much so they can pass out. Then their ego is no longer awake. And then some real communication can happen.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that you could fall asleep because your ego was getting in the way of your hearing.
I don't understand your question.
Okay.
I thought one reason that a person might fall asleep in here, for example, was because their ego didn't want to hear whatever it was you were saying, so the ego put you to sleep.
Right, the ego put itself asleep. The ego put itself asleep. You are still awake. You are always awake. You are always awake. You are always aware. And this is what we're learning. We're learning the difference between our real selves and the self we made up. And the Course says, every time you listen to the Course, and it looks like you're hearing something contradictory, or it looks like you're hearing something that's paradoxical, the Course says the reason that happens is because you have become frightened of the goal. When a person is afraid to move forward and they need a reason not to move forward, they have to have paradoxes and contradictions to stop them. Because that stops you when you feel like it's paradoxical. When it's contradictory, it stops you. So the purpose of contradiction is nothing but to let you know you become afraid of what you're contradicted about. You're contradicted about God, you're contradicted about love, or you're contradicted about truth. And so when you're all confused, it's because you become afraid of what you're confused about.
Say that again, I fell asleep.
No, I'm not going to say it again. Because then I wouldn't get past one sentence the whole class. Because it's going to get that deep. Then everybody's going to say, what'd you say? Say it again. And what's so cool, it doesn't matter. Let that sentence go. Because the next sentence will be just as valuable. He says one level of the mind isn't understandable to another level of the mind. He said, that's the way it is with your fearful mind and your loving mind. That's the way it is with time and eternity. Eternity is an idea of God. So the loving mind understands the idea of eternity perfectly. A loving mind understands the idea of eternity perfectly. But time is a belief of the fearful mind or the lower mind, which is the fearful mind's domain. So the frightened man lives in the lower mind. So the frightened man accepts time without questioning it. The only aspect of time that is eternal is now. The only aspect of time that lasts forever is now. The only aspect of time, we're in time because we're frightened, we're at the lower level. Okay? And he said, so we made up time. And then he said that if we're in time, then the only way we can experience eternity is the closest thing we'll ever know of eternity is right now. Because if you'll be honest with yourself, the one thing you've had since the day you were born and as far back as you can remember is a right now. You've always had a right now, right? Okay, this is eternity. You will always have a right now, just like you have a right now now. Just like you got a right now now, you're going to always have a right now. So you are actually experiencing eternity right now, because you've always had a right now. There's always been a now. Always. Your body might look different, your clothes might look different, the situation and circumstance around you might look different, but you were still in another now. Is this agreed? As long as you can remember, have you ever not had a now? Anybody here? We've always had. Okay, the book is saying that's eternity. You will always have a now, but because you are frightened, you've made up the concept of time so that you can delay yourself while you're afraid. So time is just a concept that a frightened mind made up to try to slow down eternity because he's afraid of what's going to happen in the future. So I'm trying to slow the future down.
So Earl, then if you're in that eternal now and you're appreciative of the now, then are you accessing the higher mind?
It's only your higher mind. It would be your higher mind that would be conscious of the now.
Okay.
Exactly. If you can stay conscious of the now, I guarantee you, you're in your right mind, because you know what? You're actually focusing on the only time that anything exists. All the power I'm going to ever have, I have right in this moment with you all right now. This is it, y'all. What you're experiencing with me right now, this is it for you. In this moment, this is it. So all the power you have, all the love you have, all the fear you have, all the peace you have, everything you have it right now. Because this is where you are located, right now. You want to meet me? You can meet me now. See what I'm saying? Everything we want to do with each other, we can do it right now. Right now is the only time there is. Right now is the only reality. All the strength that you have it right now.
So we create time to slow down eternity because we're afraid. Did I hear that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and still don't get your clothes from the cleaners on time. I'm telling you.
Well, also, too, you know, if you really can live in the now, then you're not projecting out there all these silly thoughts that your ego is presenting to you. It's like, I got to go, you know, see somebody on a vacation. Oh, my God, it's going to be terrible. It'll probably rain. You know, it's like, oh, my God, you know, forget it. Then don't go. Because if you're going to go thinking, well, I'm going to have a bad time anyway, it's like, well, what's the point of going? Why don't you just go and have a good time and not project anything? That's what now is about. It's not projecting anything to the future. I mean, at the risk of sounding, you know, Jesus was probably one of the few people who said, hey, there is no beyond this. It's now, and that's all there is. And I know that to be true because I've taken a lot of care of a lot of people who have died in my arms, and all they have is that moment right there. And when you see somebody struggling to die, it's a very interesting phenomenon, because I really honestly believe that there is no struggle at the end. It's like you say, they're not living in the now. They're projecting into the future where they're going, and that's why they seem to struggle. And when they let go of that, they're living in the now, and the struggle's over.
And I would like to get that lesson in much less extreme circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to make that realization, I prefer to make it today and not on my deathbed as I'm checking out. That's what I'd like to say to the universe, you know.
Me too.
Okay, here's the next paragraph. Y'all ready to go deeper?
Yeah.
All right. The Holy Spirit is the mediator between the interpretations of your fear and the knowledge of your spirit. Your Holy Spirit's ability to deal with symbols enables the Holy Spirit to work with your beliefs in your own language. Your Holy Spirit's ability to look beyond language or symbols into eternity enables your Holy Spirit to understand the laws of God for which your Holy Spirit speaks. So your Holy Spirit can therefore perform the function of reinterpreting what your fear makes, not by destruction, but by understanding. Understanding is light, and light leads to knowledge. The Holy Spirit is the light because the Holy Spirit is in you who are light. But you yourself do not know that you are light. So it is therefore the task of the Holy Spirit, your loving mind, to reinterpret you on behalf of God, which is love. Part of you that loves you is mediating between the part of you that doesn't love you and the knowledge of your spirit. So there's a part of you that loves you that's mediating between the part of you that tries to do you in sometime and the part of you that knows the truth, which is you deserve love. So when you go to the Holy Spirit, you're saying, I want to go to the mediator. First thing the Holy Spirit is going to do when God is helping you according to the course is that God or the Holy Spirit is going to deal with you in the language and in the belief system that you already have. I'm going to reach you where you already are. But I see where you are, but I have the ability to look past where you are to the answer or to eternity. I'm talking to you in your language. I can see where you are, but I can also see beyond where you are. So the Holy Spirit is the part of us that mediates between the part of us that's trying to hurt us and the part of us that knows the truth about us. And the Holy Spirit will deal with you in the belief system that you already have. You'll be reached where you are. So the Holy Spirit is not going to destroy anything you value or anything you treasure. The only thing the Holy Spirit is going to do is teach you how to understand what you have made so that it won't frighten you. You're being taught how to understand what you've made so that it will no longer frighten you. I'm not going to destroy what you've done. I'm not going to destroy what you made. I'm just going to reinterpret it. I'm going to give you another way of looking at it. That's all I'm going to do to it. I'm not going to destroy your special relationships. I'm not going to destroy your home. I'm not going to destroy you. I'm not going to destroy anything about your experience as you have made it right now. I'm going to reach you where you are, and I'm going to reinterpret what you are using to frighten you and give you a new understanding of it that will allow you not to be afraid here anymore. But I'm not going to destroy anything you have. I'm just going to show you how not to hurt yourself with it. That's all this book is saying to me, to us. So the belief that you have to be different in order to receive the help is nothing but a delaying maneuver to keep you from receiving your help right now. The belief that you have to be different in order to be loved is nothing but a delaying maneuver and a trick to keep you from experiencing love right now. You are going to be reached right where you are, the way you are. You are going to be loved the way you are.
That's the essence of unconditional acceptance.
Yeah, that's what you call it, Barbara. If I was to say right here, right now, the way I am right now, I can be loved the way I am right now, I have totally surrendered. I've totally surrendered to the now. I've let go of every block to me magnetizing what I want. Because the block is believing I've got to be on a different channel from that which is coming to me. If I'm on a different channel from that which is coming to me, we'll keep missing each other. If the love is here and you down there, you know what I'm saying? If love is going to reach me and I'm then love's got to go, it's got to reach me where I'm at. And this book is telling me today, Earl, rest up some, son. You can be loved exactly as you are, exactly as you are today. There's nothing you need to change about yourself. Because love is going to reinterpret everything you've made to frighten yourself. And love is going to get rid of your fear by giving you understanding. And understanding is light. So when you say, I am the light of the world, the Course is saying you are the understanding of the world. And it is understanding that leads to knowledge. And the Holy Spirit is in light, is in understanding, because the Holy Spirit is in you who are light, you who are understanding. So the loving mind is in you who are understanding. God is in you who are understanding. It is therefore the task of the Holy Spirit, it is the task of the part of you that loves you to reinterpret you. And that's what's been happening ever since I've been on the path. He said, I've been reading these books, and all they've been doing is giving me another reinterpretation of myself. They just, all these books do is just give me another way to interpret myself, another way to look at myself. And that's what the book says. When God, the loving man's job is to reinterpret you on behalf of God, which is love. So a man that loves you is constantly giving you perceptions of yourself that are in line with love.
And the only reason why we wouldn't listen to that is simply because we don't want to listen to it.
The unwillingness to hear it is the obstacle. This is exactly right.
But that's good to hear. Yesterday I took a test, and I got in there thinking, I'm cool. And then halfway in between the test, I'm thinking, crap. You know, I have this thing with learning things. I have this problem with understanding concepts and taking standardized tests. Imagine that. And I started thinking, blah, 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 things that are not of value. And so what you're saying is that in that moment, when I was thinking those things, that the holy part of my mind could have reached me where I was, or did reach me where I was, just wasn't willing to listen to it at that very moment.
Yes.
Yeah, so now that I know that, I mean, I probably knew that before. Remembering that, I can say, okay, so I'm giving myself a lot of crap right now for whatever reason. You just be still in that moment and know that in that moment that
at that moment, instead of trying to figure out what you should do mentally in a moment like that, okay, the Course says, say to yourself, I need do nothing. Okay? I need do nothing. I need do nothing. Because what you're debating about is not a life and death situation, but a mental attitude you should take. And since you're just thinking about a mental attitude you should take, you can always take that up later. So just do nothing. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I'm trying to decide whether or not I'm going to let this truck hit me. It's like I'm trying to decide whether or not, which one of these mental concepts do I want to accept. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not really that important in that moment. So it'd just be so much easier to say, I need to do nothing. Because you said everything that you needed to say when you said that there was another voice in you that you were choosing not to listen to that had to answer to everything you needed. That was the jewel. That was the jewel of what you said. And that's the thought to hang on to, is that that voice is available for us to listen to every single second, but the reason why we don't hear it is because it's not strong in us, because we don't have a willingness to hear it consistently. So he says that, so that voice needs to be strengthened in us, and the way for that voice to be strengthened in each other is for us to share it. So I got to share the idea that you have a voice and a truth in you that can save you in any situation. I got to start sharing that idea that I believe that there's a strength in you that cannot be destroyed and that can help you out in any situation. So I got to start to share the idea that there is guidance inside your mind for you, because the idea is weak. We get these ideas are weak, and we need to share these ideas with each other in order to make them stronger. Okay, let's go back up to paragraph 4. And I want to see if you hear it differently this time. And it's okay if you find yourself just wanting to close your eyes and listen. That's fine. I just want you to see if you hear it. The voice for God, the voice for truth, the voice that has the answer to everything that you're wondering about is weak in you. That's why you've got to start sharing this voice of truth. You've got to increase the voice of your own guidance before you can hear the voice of your own guidance. It's impossible to hear your guidance in yourself while the guidance is so weak in your mind. Your guidance is not weak in itself, but your guidance is limited by your unwillingness to hear your guidance. Your guidance is limited by your unwillingness to hear your guidance. If you make the mistake of looking for God just in yourself alone, your thoughts on this journey are going to frighten you, because you've undertaken a fearful alien journey with your fearful mind as a guide. That's going to make you afraid. If you keep letting your fearful self guide you, it's going to make you afraid. Letting your fearful self guide you is what's making you afraid. Delay is coming from the part of you that's afraid. So that part made up the concept of time. But time and delay don't mean anything when you're going to be around forever. Time and delay don't mean anything when you're going to be around forever. I've said before that love is the answer to your fear. And everything that love reminds you of is going to be directly opposite of what your fear's notions are. You have true and false perceptions, and your true and false perceptions are opposed. The part of you that loves you, the part of you that loves you, has the job of undoing every mistake that you have ever made from your fear. You are going to receive the help on the level that you are living on so that you can recognize the change. You're going to be helped on the level that you're on so that you can recognize the change. The loving part of your mind cannot be understood by the fearful part of your mind. The loving mind, one level of the mind is not understandable to another level of the mind. One level of the mind is not understandable to another level of the mind. So your ego is not going to understand the Holy Spirit. And time and eternity are not understandable to each other. But when you think about eternity, when you think about now, when you think about living forever, that very thought came from God. The part of you that loves you understands the idea of you living forever in peace perfectly. The part of you that loves you understands the idea of you living in love completely. The part of you that loves you understands all of these loving ideas. Time is a belief of the fearful mind. Time is a belief of the fearful mind. The ego is a belief of the fearful mind. Time is a belief of fear. Time is a fear belief. Time is a fear belief. So the lower mind understands time perfectly. A lower mind, which means a more fearful mind, does not even question the idea of time. It believes it's so real. A frightened mind doesn't even question the idea of time. The only aspect of time that you're going to always experience is what you are experiencing right now. With you being right here, right now, you are as close to permanence as you will ever know, is now. You will always have a now. You may not always have a body, but you will always have a now. You will always have a now. A now moment, right now, is realer than the body. Now is realer than the body. The body will not always last, but you will always have a now. The part of you that loves you is going to work with you in your own belief system and your own language. The part of you that loves you can see beyond where you see and can see to the answer that you can't see right now. It's going to reinterpret everything you tell yourself to make you afraid into something that brings you peace. This is understanding. So this is light. You are the light of the world. Means you are the understanding of the world. If there's going to be understanding in this world, it's going to come through your awareness that you have a loving mind. And your loving mind or God mind is going to reach you where you are and is going to reinterpret everything you use to frighten you into something that's a lesson in the understanding of love and peace. You are going to become more and more present, more and more in the present moment where your power is located. You're going to find yourself thinking about the past and the future less and less, which means you're going to be more and more focused on the power you can extend out into your environment right now. Right now is your point of power. Right now is your point of power. Sitting right here, right now, where you are, who you are, who you think you are, where you think you are, right now is your point of power. Right now is the closest approximation to eternity that you will know in the body, is that you will always have a right now. So you should ask your loving self right now. You should ask the part of you that is God. You should ask the part of you that is unlimited. You should ask that part of you to reinterpret you. I want love to reinterpret me on behalf of God. Ask your spiritual identity to reinterpret you. To reinterpret you, ask to be reinterpreted by yourself. By yourself. Let yourself reinterpret you into love. I let myself reinterpret me into truth. Let ourself, our greater self, reinterpret us into freedom. Let's ask our greater self, our God self, to reinterpret any area of our lives that we're feeling fear. If there's any area of your life that you are experiencing anything less than peace, right now, ask higher power, ask your greater self, ask love to reinterpret that situation. Ask for a reinterpretation of the situation. You are going to be reached on the level that you think you are on. You are going to be helped right where you are. Now is the closest approximation of eternity and permanence that you will ever know. The present, right now, is your point of power. This moment is your point of power. Feel it. Right now is your point of power. Right now is your point of power. And to understand that is to be the light of the world. Please, I ask my higher self, I ask God, I ask the Holy Spirit to reinterpret me on behalf of my peace. Reinterpret me on behalf of my peace. Unlimited Spirit, my unlimited Creator, reinterpret me. Reinterpret us on behalf of our total fulfillment. We want to be reinterpreted on behalf of our total fulfillment. We want to be reached right here, right now, where we are. We want love to reach us right here, right now. We're letting go of the concept of delay. We want to let go of our fear of happiness. We want to let go of our fear of fulfillment, total fulfillment. If there's any fear in us, any blocks in us to experiencing our total fulfillment, we ask that we be reinterpreted now. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for letting me share from the Course with you. And I know you have those moments where you have to fight. Sometimes you want to go unconscious. Sometimes you just want to pass right out. But that's worth it for those times that you know you're on the edge of your seat, or you've been just smacked in the face with the most beautiful truth you've ever heard in that moment. It's worth it. It's just so loving. We're learning how to accept the love that has reached us where we are. And it just knocks me out sometimes. It's like, whoa, whoa. You know, it's coming at you and you go, wow, I'm more blessed than I ever could have imagined. Because it's reaching you right where you are. Wow. Anybody else having an experience like that beside me? Yeah, that's right. I mean, you're right where you are, you're noticing that the blessings are showing up. Already been there, always been there. But I was unwilling to see it. I was unwilling to hear it because I let the weaker voice be the stronger voice. I'm just using the words it used. Unwilling is what's on the page, but I'm sure there are other ways that you can look at it, you know. Yeah. I like the idea of my unwillingness to hear it, because it immediately tells me I got a choice. Bam, I could have the willingness to hear it. And that's what I love about that. You know, I'm willing to hear the voice that is loving me now. So, thank you for sharing with me. Thank you for sharing with me as I share with you. Thank you for sharing with me. Thank you for sharing with yourself.
Thank you. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm going to say one thing, since I'm a newcomer. I was going to say, I've read a couple of near-death experience books, and I always thought it was interesting that some people that are more into Jesus and stuff are just adamant that you must see him or whatever. And I thought, well, like you were saying, how could somebody who comes from a completely different country, who's Muslim or Hindu or whatever, I mean, they're not going to see Jesus. They're going to see what they know, and we're going to be met on the level that we left, and we'll see something that's familiar to us. I can't imagine seeing Jesus if I've always thought about Buddha. I mean, I wouldn't know who Jesus was. You know, and if Buddha showed up, if I believed in Jesus, I'd think, well, my God, who's this?
I think I'm going to see Earl Curry.
Hey, you are going to be seeing Earl Curry.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to be seeing Judy Bottom.
Yeah.
Was it going to be the one? They're going to be one and the same.
I am Roper.
Yeah, well, you are, and I am Judy Bob. Mm-hmm. You know, and I feel the most safe around people that recognize that. Those are the people that I like to be around. The ones who recognize we're like one. We're like the same little being. Mm-hmm. You know, the separation people are dangerous. Mm-hmm. Separation people, they're my fearful self. Separation people, they don't trust, and they judge, and they evaluate, and they're afraid, and they break that up with a little few minutes of pleasurable fear that they like, as the Course calls them. We have pleasurable fears. We have fears that we like, and then we have fears that we don't like, and we call the fears that we like happiness. I thought that was interesting. You see, we call the fears that we like happiness. That's our idea of happiness, is just the fears that we like, because we've lost sight of our true identity. It's like, man, if you really knew how cool you were and how powerful you were and how blessed you were, you realize that anything you come up with for yourself is little. Anything you make up for yourself, for your joy, from a human fearful mind, the Course says, that's little. That's its definition of being little. Which I thought was great. What's little? Anything you think of.
Yeah.
Anything you think of, that's little. That's of course definitely anything the human mind, limited separation mind, thinks of is little. It doesn't love itself enough to even come up with the thoughts that it deserves. That's when I read that. I went, "Woo!" So you don't love yourself enough to come up with the thoughts you deserve. You know, you deserve more than you can think of for yourself, buddy. And I'm like, why would I fight with a thought like that? Unless I was totally insane. Why would I not want to strengthen that idea? And that's what I think the purpose of these groups are. They come together to strengthen the ideas that we like to experience, not to analyze and dissect whether or not it's true. Mm-hmm. That's a waste of the hour. We're not really using it with the power it could be used unless we use it to remember and strengthen the ideas we like to see manifest.
Mm-hmm. I learned today more specifically, now you've told us this before, but resigning ourselves as our own teacher. Because I think that I was when I'm at work, or you know, I'm like trying to, okay, you know, like I can listen to the divine, you know, I can listen to my holy self, or I can listen to my ego, but I was relying on my own voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like I'm being led by the fearful mind.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of help me, you know, from my other people who I work with. You know, like I can use that. I mean, you know, we can, you know, so I...
Thank you for hearing it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you for hearing it. Thank you for hearing it. Thank you for hearing it. Okay, so we're going to do a listening test. So I'd like to ask you now to just sit back and close your eyes. And relax. It's okay for Americans to do it. We can. I know it's scary for Americans, but we can do it. We can just be silent. You just become conscious of your breathing for a minute. Just become conscious of you. Right now, you got a voice. And right now, it's telling you everything that you want to know. But that voice is a little weak in you. So what we're going to do right now for a couple of minutes is we're going to share that idea. And the idea that I'd like to ask us to share is the idea that each and every one of us has internal guidance. Just for a minute, I'd like you to think that everyone else in this room has an inner guide, a divine guide. To just think that for just a minute. Everyone in this room has their own inner guide. The one guide. And we want to increase the strength of our own guidance and our ability to listen to it. And you do that by making a request to your higher self to go something like this. I want to increase it to hear it. I want to increase it to hear it. I want to increase it to hear it. 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 Share it. Increase 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 it. Share it. The voice of the Holy Spirit is weak in you. That's why you must share the voice. It must be increased in strength before you can hear it. It's impossible to hear it in yourself while it's still so weak in your mind. It's impossible to hear it in yourself while it is still so weak in your mind. It's impossible for you to hear your guidance for yourself while it's still so weak in your mind. So you have to increase it by sharing it, and you share it by seeing everyone else as having it. Sharing it means to see everyone else as having it. To share it means I see each and every one of you as having inner guidance. I see each and every one of you as having the voice for God in you. I see in each and every one of you all of the answers, all of the healing, all of the power, all of the strength of God. I see it in each and every one of you. I share it to increase it. And I hope you have a blessed week. Noon to 12 is the next class, and 7 p.m. on Thursday nights is the next class. I love seeing you all as each having your own guidance and your own voice for God. I can just feel myself relax.
I want to remember that for everyone, including my two daughters. I always think they don't have, and I need to straighten them out and tell them how to do it. Yeah, they have their own.
Isn't it wild?
Yeah.
So hugs are available.